Well, there's nothing quite as enjoyable starting a new series and then starting a different series. So if you remember from last week, Sunday morning, I was answering questions that people turned in. And this question was a lot, and I just didn't have enough time to invest into the question on a Sunday morning and do it justice. But I think what the question stems from, and the individual has told me who turned in this question. I know their certain position on things, and but I think that it stems from the question lets me know that I think it's important that we address the issue, the matter of we're in the church. Let me read the question for you. I was going to have it on the overhead, but I tried minimizing and shrinking, and no matter what I did, this question was too large. But let me read it for you, and I'm going to read it twice to comprehend the question. The question is this: we recognize that we follow a model for church today that we would consider both modern and appropriate. Sadly, we as believers also contend to be pretentious and disagreeable how we worship, concerning church government, concerning even when, where, and how we gather, and what we do when we gather. At what point do we say that because we're Christians, we do as the early church did? Where do we draw the line, the church, between how church was done 2,000 years ago and how we deem church should be done today? Let me read that again. We recognize that we follow a model for church today that we would consider both modern and appropriate. Sadly, we as believers can also tend to be pretentious and disagreeable concerning how we worship, concerning church government, concerning even when, where, and how we gather, and what we do when we gather. At what point do we say we are Christians, we do as the early church did? Where do we draw the line as a church between how church was done 2,000 years ago and how we deem church should be done today? So with that read, I'm going to open up in a word of prayer, and then we'll dive in. Father, I ask for much grace today. Father, I am insufficient of myself to answer any of the questions that were given. Lord, any wisdom I have comes from on high, from what you've given to other godly men that I can read and study and digest and think through and see how it correlates with Scripture. And so, Lord, I just pray that you would guide the discussion tonight, that our hearts be protected, that, God, we would not let our emotions run, but that we would think critically, we would think biblically, and that we would think with charity and grace. Oh, God, I just pray that you'd be pleased with the thoughts in our heart and the words of our mouth. May they always be acceptable in your sight, oh, Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Bless now, Lord, give wisdom from on high. Give me discernment and wisdom beyond my years. And help me, God, to lead your people fully and with a sweet disposition that reflects the great shepherd who loves us and has given himself. And we are his redeemed body, blood-bought body. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. I think at the outset, it's very hard when we consider how church was done 2,000 years ago. There's certain things we can look at and certain things we just don't know. One thing that's important as you consider how church was done, we have about a handful of passages, and I'll get to this in a little bit, that tells us different activities that were done in the church. And those things we seek to emulate. We have to discern as we read through the books of Acts and the epistles, there's two different things that happen. Activities that are prescribed, telling us to do these things, and activities that are descriptive, telling us just what the church did. It doesn't mean that that's what we are called to do, but, you know, because there's certain things that were happening, and Luke is writing about them, doesn't mean that that's prescriptive for us. It's describing what had happened. The book of Acts was a transitional book, and so there's a lot of variables, and I'll get into that in just a moment. But this is a good question. I believe it's very relative to our church, Bible Baptist Church, but also the church at large. I want to ask, what does worship mean? What does worship mean? I want you to think critically. It's all this time. I want us to come back to Scripture. Not what, and when you use the word tradition, don't henpecking a certain form or traditional style of worship. I'm talking about traditions that are traditions within contemporary evangelicalism. But I want us to come and think scripturally about things. Keith, you had your arm raised? I'm going to walk on back, Keith, if I can just have you hold on for just a moment. This way everybody can hear comments. And if we're just going to have dialogue, I want to make sure it's cool. Just paraphrase if again. I'm sure most people heard what you said. But
So with the worship that is descriptive of Yahweh, what we see is that this is a worship that acknowledges who, what he has done, and it also describes his covenant relationship with his redemptive, with his redeemed people, whether that would be Israel or the church, or depending on if you believe there are two separate entities or one entity, they're still God's redeemed people, and they worship him in the context of who he is and what he has done, and the fact that he has what the Old Testament calls hesed. In the New Testament, we call grace, which is a everlasting kindness for his people. And you compare that in contrast to idol worship or pagan worship, and that was more a manipulation. That was done out of fear that the people could think by doing certain things they could manipulate the gods into helping them. So one pagan form of worship is one is done out of fear and manipulation. The other is done out of gratitude and love and acknowledgement.
Yes. Very good. Very good. Some of you might find it interesting, but the very first time that the Hebrew word for worship is used, it's not used until Abraham offers Isaac, and that was considered worship, and it's connected to sacrifice. In fact, the very word worship means to be low, prostrate, to bow down before. Yeah. And I think what I want to keep coming back to, that's very good, Jim, but what I want to keep coming back to is that worship in the form of music is only a small fraction of what we do. I would contend, and I'm going to talk about three different presuppositions that we have when it comes to worship. I'm going to get into that in just a few moments. But I want to be honest with you folks. I don't think that we can really ignore the 800-pound gorilla in the room. To be your spiritual leader, I labor, God is my witness, in prayer for you. And I feel this gloom over the church because some people are bothered with our form of worship. Maybe it's not style, maybe it's purely volume. I'm not sure. Know this, and I love you, but we cannot move forward and have God's blessing if we're disgruntled with one another. I have had people come to me. I've had people over 3 months. I've had a talk with at least 2 to 3 different families about leaving over this very issue. Brethren, these things ought not to be so. We have made, you know, tragic. When someone is wanting to leave this community of faith, you're going to throw away, and I'm not trying to say anything about how I preach, because there's a lot of men. Folks, you could find a lot of good preachers, lots of them. But my heart's desire is to bring before you each Sunday the truth of God's word plain and clear. But people would want to leave what I call sound teaching and a loving community because of a certain form of worship or a volume of worship. You throw all that away because something makes you uncomfortable. And I, hold on just one moment, Debbie, I'll get right to you. I just know this, that I've lost sleep time and time and time again. In fact, I was up at 3 o'clock in the morning praying for you guys for wisdom just the other night because I can't sleep. I have people telling me, you got to do something about this. You got to do something about this. And then other people saying, we got to do more. We got to do more. I can't take it anymore. When church becomes about me and what I want it to be, we have lost our focus of the church. It is to be vertical in nature and horizontal in nature, not inward. And I think there's certain variables, and I want to get to those tonight. There's certain times in ministry we just have to stop and pause and have family talks, because that's what we are. We're a family. And each one of you are a part of it. Every one of you. Trust in Christ covenantally joined us together. We've made a pledge. When you enter a church covenant, that's a promise. When we bring you before the church body, whether it was 40 years ago, 60 years ago, whether it was 3 months ago, and we covenant to be with and for and everything we can be to one another. And we must not look on that lightly. And everyone's opinion matters. With that said, let me go back and... Sure. Well, I think, and this is where I want, as long as we carry on with a disposition of grace to share our concerns, and I'm going to address, the matter is one, we've been having guitars or tambourines or just more contemporary songs, and even apart from any type of musical instrument, whether it's be the sound in the morning, this more contemporary or Southern gospel music that's being played, but there's just a dissension, and it's a rift. And I can sense it. And like I said, other people have overheard it and they've come to me. And I've sought to meet with people because, folks, we're wounding one another. We're going like this. We're missing one another. And we can't do that anymore. If the problem is theological in nature, if there's a problem with a certain form of, I don't like using the word contemporary, but one of current forms of Christian worship, we can address that matter theologically. If it's one of just stylistic variations, volume, address that issue. But we need to get to the heart of the matter, and we need to do it corporately. Because I know each one of you, you love one another. And you want us to move forward with grace and with compassion. And I implore you to keep with that spirit. We need to bear with one another and be patient with one another. My goal is not, like I said, you can ask the pastoral search committee. We're a part of that when I came. And I gave you my philosophy of music. You asked for that, and I gave it to you. And in that, I said that my goal was not to be generationally exclusive. And by that I mean we're only going to do contemporary chorus songs or only hymns, because I think generationally, whether we like it or not, and the advance of technology has sped things up, sometimes in a not so good way, because it feels like we're racing. But what we don't change is the object of our worship, God Himself. We don't change the content of our worship, which is God's Word. And we don't change who we worship with, God's people, whether you're here or across town or in another community or in Yugoslavia, we worship with the church, God's people. And so whether we like it or not, geographically and generationally, worship changes. And I think even if we went to a very conservative church in Ethiopia right now, I think all of us would be uncomfortable. It would just be different. Wrong? No. Different, yes. It's just like in Corinth when Paul says, ladies, you need to make sure you're wearing you have your head covered. That was cultural, but it was important. Is mandating women to wear head coverings today? No, because of the significance, and I preached through that passage. But my goal is for us to kind of sift through a lot of this stuff. And I want us to come away healthy and clean. I don't want any more dissension. And to be quite honest with you, my notes, I've written out several pages, but they're scattered brain. Because, number one, I don't do topical messages very well. Talk with anybody that knows me well and we talk about, I'm not a huge fan of topical sermons, not because I don't think they're important. They're just really hard to do them well. And so as I thought and I wrote down thoughts and I wrote down thoughts and I wrote down thoughts and I wrote down thoughts, did research, got opinions. Bernie, I called other pastor friends because I don't want you to just have my opinion. The Bible says that the prophets are subject to the school of the prophets, and I think that that's, if I'm going to lead God people, I think God leads other men in different ways as he's going to lead us together on an issue. There's not going to be huge divergence. And so I called men and I said, tell me if I'm wrong about something. Be honest. Be frank. Tell me if I'm wrong. If I'm approaching this wrong, tell me. I don't want people to tell me what I want to hear. Tell me the truth. And I explain circumstances. And so these men are in alignment with me. And every church has its own unique culture, its own unique belief. So there's certain things that they can't just speak into because they don't know the dynamic. But how can we move forward? I don't even know how to ask it. But those of you who, I just can't keep going forward as your pastor. People complain and get upset week after week. Folks, whether it's from the same handful of people every week that I hear somebody had told me something or they said something, I can't do it anymore. It's not healthy for me. It's not healthy for the church. So how can we move forward? Help me. Sure. Yeah.
I think it's good if people sure. are bothered by it. It's good to come together. It's good to hear another person's point of view and respect that because we are one. We're the family.
Yeah.
You know, we're together.
Yeah.
So.
Sure. And that's good. Thank you. Thank you. I think it's, hold on, just one moment. I have a thought. I apologize. And I don't think, you know, we're not advocating fights, sound production, you know, all this. This is not. I mean, we have a guitar and a tambourine. I'm not against other forms of worship. Sometimes it's just not a good fit because of whatever reason. But I don't like someone saying, pastor, I really like to worship. Well, you know, and then telling them, well, if you do this or you don't do, or if you play this instrument or you don't play this one, you just don't have a place here. I don't want to tell people that. Now, I think there's a time and a way, and we begin making transitions healthy over time. But nobody's advocating huge productions. It's not about men. It's about Christ. And again, even with what you're saying, there's a lot of music that I think is fine, but I think that it's not healthy necessarily for a corporate worship environment. Music that I think is on WBGL, that is great. Maybe it'd be good for a special, but it's just not singable for a congregation. So I want to focus on congregational singing, what promotes the people of God singing, not just one person who can get really high and really low and they can do all this other stuff. I don't necessarily think that, you know, I'm not against it. I just don't know if that's the best setting because we want to foster corporate singing. But, you know, and I'm not saying all music is neutral, but I'm just saying that, and we'll teach on over the next few Sunday nights, is helping us to understand worship from a biblical perspective. But I think that we need to address this first. And I think from the get-go, I want us to understand that worship needs to be word-filled worship. It needs to be immersed scripture, because that's how we know God is through a self-revelation, the scriptures. And so we worship him in spirit and according to truth. And so that's important. Shirley, you had your hand raised. Sure.
When we get up on Sundays, we're going to worship. So we get dressed, we start thinking about walking in here, hearing the music that I was told for, what's going to follow. Worship is sharing the word, it's music, it's having the right heart attitude. It's a lot of things. And feeling that we're lost our focus.
I think that, you know, I would say by and large, no. But I would say that I want us to get away from just thinking of worship singing. It's like me, you know, and Larry, he knows electronics. It's like me saying, well, electronics is just all about wires. Well, good night. That's a fraction, a slivet of electronics. So when we say that about singing, it's the same thing. And what I'm saying is that worship is our whole life. What does Paul say in Romans 12:1? I beseech you, therefore, brother, or I beg you, I implore you, mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service, or your act of spiritual worship. It's giving yourself, it's climbing up on the altar every day, burnt sacrifice, but you're a living one, and you're getting on that every day. I'm yours, God. It's whole life worship. And then when we come together, it then comes corporately. What we've been doing in private prayer, private praise and worship, adoration. We come together and we link hearts as the body to exalt our living head. We have to remember, and this is why I'm, as a pastor, I'm fearful. Because I, according to Hebrews 3, I will give an account to God for how I pastor. And if seeds of discord and dissension are just laying there and I'm doing nothing with it, just roll the dice and see what happens this Sunday. I don't think that's healthy. And I think there comes a time when we have to approach it, not approach it with just, let's get this out of the way, but approach it, how do we solve problems? And I don't think it's a worship issue. I don't think it's a volume issue. I think a lot of it comes to heart issue about how we view things. And like I said, if I want to discuss some of these things and get them out in the open. So as to be able to solve problems. Worship is something we prepare our hearts. You know, if you're taking, hopefully on Sunday morning, you're taking time to pray. God, I want you to speak to me this morning. I don't want to leave the same way I came in. I want you to change me. And that way, when we've been feasting on the word all week, reflecting upon Christ, and we come together, we hear the word of God declared, exhorted, taught, preached. And then I respond, God, I submit myself. I bow. I worship you. I bow down before you. Your being, every facet and facility that I have in my body, I bow before you. And whatever you say in your word, God, I'm all in. I'm all in. Tell me, and I'll do it. That's worship. That's worship. Jerry.
This isn't my personal opinion, but I'm just going to ask the question. Do you feel, or whoever is how the guitar or the instrument, that it's
I don't know. I don't know if anybody would hold to that opinion. That's.
I'm trying to get an understanding of what they don't like. Because personally, last week, I absolutely loved everything that was presented. And I'm hard to believe that there are people that don't like that.
Yeah.
But I understand different, sure. different people have different voices.
Yeah.
I just am trying to get an understanding of why they don't like it.
Yeah. And I don't know, but it's one of those things, and like I said, I don't judge anyone's heart in the sense, I can't render a final verdict on why people think or act the way they do. I don't think there's impurity in their heart in the sense that, you know, they think less of anybody. I think there's other issues going on, and it stems from that, but I don't know, and I don't. Like I said, we're not going to go all contemporary current. First of all, you can never stay, I mean, it changes monthly. But I think, there's just no way you could do that. And I don't think it's even feasible or biblical. I think that you remain current in the sense where you try to, within like a 10-year time frame, you try to keep in music that is coming in. I don't think that the church should be, a lot of times, if you go back to 60 years ago, and some of you older folks, I know what church I grew up in, they preached against contemporary Christian music. You thought it came from the devil. I mean, that's how they preached against it. It's like going to movies. You should never go to a movie. You know, you should never, mixed swimming was another one. Smoking was another one. I mean, it was just the nasty nine. But there are certain things that I think that the church should not rush into. And I don't think at that time frame it would have been wise. There are certain things now, because certain rock and roll music, specifically in the 50s and the 60s, was identified with the world, and the world would say, yeah, that's our music. But I think that culture has so saturated things, and sometimes, so when you think of contemporary music, it doesn't have that same spin on it anymore. And so would it have been good, 60 years ago to have electric guitar in the church, or a tambourine, or a bass guitar? Probably not. Any more than, having a piano in the church 250, 300 years ago was a good idea. Things were identified with certain saloon activities, and it just wasn't wise. So I think that culture changes things. And remember, when we talk about worldliness or worldly music, the scripture identifies worldliness. The flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life are not of the Father, but are of the world. So music that parades sensuality, music that speaks about and praises materialism, covetousness, the pride of life, self-sufficiency. I made myself. You're a self-made man, and you brag about how good you are. That kind of music is not appropriate. Now, it's not so much one of music. I think that can always be. There's we could look at Amazing Grace. Most scholars think that was a slave hymn. That was brought over. John Newton then adapted that, changed the song of drudgery and fear. He then changed it into a song of grace. You see that time again in Christendom. For example, in the 1920s, when most of you are familiar with the song, "There's Within My Heart a Melody." Well, that song wasn't even accepted in the church for quite some time because it was too worldly. So these things change. The beat was too worldly. So we just need to be sensitive. And I don't want anybody has a different opinion, I don't want to force you. I don't want, if somebody has a problem with contemporary music or with the volume or with whatever, I want you to feel liberty to speak without being judged prematurely. So if you, I just, we need to, I just want to make sure that going forward we're unified. I'm not saying, and if you don't mind my illustration, Daniel, if I could use you for an illustration. You're trusting me. Daniel doesn't care for contemporary music. It's not either for that style. And he's okay with that. And when the church, and when we sing more contemporary or current songs, he's fine with it. He tries singing in as much as he can because he doesn't know the songs. But he's not upset that we do. And he's not one that blasts music. He's not one that does all that stuff. He's just a godly man, and he doesn't have a preference for that. I tell you what, I've been blessed by contemporary Christian music. I've been blessed by hymns, by choruses. I'm blessed. How many of you know that chorus from Psalm 19 that speaks about The word of God. The law of the Lord is good. Singing the Psalms. I'm that. I'm just saying that we need to stop putting our preferences out here, whatever that preference might be, and then getting upset with others when they don't keep preference with us. I just want us to move forward with grace. Because I tell you what, one of my faults, well, Pat will tell you another one, I'm horrible at administration. She keeps me on my toes. I appreciate that. The other is I'm very tenderhearted. And so when I hear dissension and aggravation, and maybe it's coming from a person that it's not really that big deal, bothers them and they move on, and maybe I've blown this up out of proportion in my mind. That is possible. But I want us to move forward with grace. I know some of you, the volume bothers you. I talked about with Seth about, it's difficult, but in the mornings when people come in, you have to understand, too, that volume changes, too, and most of you know this, whether you have 60 or 80 people in here or 4 or 5, it just changes. So we've talked about maybe just not having the speakers on. The only problem is that we're trying to adjust those, too, for people out there who are worshiping, who, for whatever reason, maybe it's the deacon on duty or someone who goes out because they have a coughing fit or reason they don't feel well, they're out there. We want them to hear it, too. That's why we have speakers out there. So volume is one of those things that I think has changed, and it's very subjective. You know, one person will think it's very loud. Another person will think it's just fine. I don't know how you find that, and we can't go around and ask everybody, how was that for you today? Was that too loud? Was that too... You'll get 100 different opinions. It's fine. It was too loud. I don't know. But I just want you guys, I love you. And I want us to come together, not just with, oh, we'll just deal with it. No, I want us to come together and worship the Lord. Worship the Lord in sincerity and in truth and recognizing there's different. And no one says you have to like it. But I think Carolyn says it best when she had heard it from somebody that if it's not your song, it's somebody else's song. So sing it out with gusto. Sing it all with gusto. Michelle, you have a...
So, you know, you mentioned Daniel. He and I actually differ, even in the kind of music we listen to as far as Christian music goes. So I love the hymns, but I also like contemporary Christian music.
Yeah.
Some of it's a little too jammy.
Sure.
That's just my preference. You know, and he and I have had to talk about that with what we're going to want our kids to listen to, you know, as far as preferences go.
Yeah.
It's okay with me. You know, and Daniel would say the same thing. It's okay with him to see her get excited about the songs and singing and however she chooses to worship, however God works in her heart to worship.
Yeah.
Know, we're all different.
Yeah,
and
yeah. Sure. So I'll answer your question then. Larry had his hand raised. So as far as songs go, it was, for a while, it was me. And then Bob kind of graciously has taken that over because I'm the type of person, I like all the songs that kind of dovetail with my sermon. And it's a fine thing. It doesn't have to be that way. But I would spend quite a bit of time, okay, this hymn would work, that chorus would work, this one. And so Bob has graciously taken that over. But one thing we talked about in the worship committee meeting is, okay, we love the hymns. We're enduring the, we're we're in deer, we're not going to lose those, because I just don't think that's wise. But I think that what we talked about is introducing, so we have on a relative basis, ongoing basis, is introducing a new current song, and then we play it for 2 or 3 weeks, so people become familiar with it, so that way it's not sung one time, and then, man, I don't even remember the words from the last time. You know, Bob will say that we've done this one before. Well, I don't remember. So this way here it becomes more, but even up until, what, last week, we have a lot more, or a lot more hymns than even current songs. And so it's just, you know, like I said, we want to have a good balance, because when younger generations do come in, I'm not about catering to young people. I've had someone, Pastor, we feel like you're just wanting to, you've forgotten the older folks and you just want to cater to young people. And I talked with Sarah, and I cried. I said, that's not true at all. I'm so happy that we have young people coming. I was thrilled when the gym. I want whoever God wants here. You're mentioned by name. Yeah. Well, I'm not saying that you're older either, but I'm just saying I'm thrilled with whoever the Lord brings here, and I pray that he would fill this place up. Not interested in being a mega church or interested. I want here whoever the Lord wants here. And we want to minister to people because we love people. God loves people. And so that's why. What's that? Yeah, yeah. Low dollar jet. Larry, before I forget, I want you to.
I think you're trying to put too big a load on your shoulders. I think that what you're talking about is things that can be lessened and relieved from some of this, because you're trying to spread things out, and you're trying to do everything yourself.
Oh, well, thank you. Well, thank you, and that very well could be I put too much on myself. Like I said, I can magnify things in my mind that aren't there. I think all of us can be prone to, you know, whether it's our spouse or something, and the first thing we do is we take offense to it, or, you know, because everything's said within a context of a person's mind, and so we hear a fraction of it. I just want to lead as a pastor efficiently. I want to lead. I just want to lead like Christ, and I fail at it time and time again. But in as much as possible, I want to lead with Christ. I want his guiding me. But I am not interested in bringing just young people in. I am interested in whoever the Lord brings our way. As I have opportunity to share Christ and invite older folks to the church, I do that. If I have the opportunity to bring in younger people and God graces in that way, I want to do that. But I think that as we, and that's, I think, something that's harder for the older generation is to recognize that younger generation worships me. And that doesn't mean that we got to force it on you. You better take this down and choke on it. No. And that's why we don't want to be generationally exclusive. We need to have different forms of worship. We need to include more current stuff. We are going to be faithful. Your hymns will not go away. Your choruses will never go away. Because in as much as God places me here and I'm able to lead, what I'm going to do, I have 3 presuppositions. I'm not going to get them to. I also have 6 guiding principles that I think will help us to be able to move forward with grace. Guarding God-honoring music. I don't have them in front of me, but my first principle here, we must promote content-driven worship. It's not just about how worship makes me feel. Worship isn't about you. It's not about me. It's about God, and it's about these other people around me. And as I engage with them, and as I hear about a need, somebody has a financial need, somebody has a physical need, they need this done around the house. We are here. We gather for that reason. And there's certain individuals. Don's great with finances. Other people are great with administration. They can organize something, and we have for the functioning of this local body. God has given us uniquely. But we must be, in regards to singing, we must promote content-driven worship. Secondly, and that's all the farther I got in this as far as going through it, but our second principle, guiding principle for lasting God-honoring music is that its aim is edification. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 14, he says, let all things be done for edification. And so as we focus on Christ, and then we spot and we look at how can, you know, I want our worship together to exalt Jesus Christ. When we exalt Jesus Christ, I believe that a byproduct of that is edifying the body. People are built up. People are encouraged. I think the two go hand in hand. Is there anybody else that has any other thoughts? I don't want to, like I said, if there's a contrict or a different thought, please share it. We won't rush to judgment. Yeah. There's a train going by.
One example of worship were two groups of monks in Dark Age Britain, in Anglo-Saxon Britain, that were killing each other because they cut their hair different. And again, this is an act of worship. So you have people killing each other because monks, Christians, killing each other, they differ on how they should cut their hair in worship. So this is nothing new. The church has always continually had to work through what does worship look like. And the way we worship is not the way people worship 1,700, 2,000 years ago. And if Jesus waits a little longer, it's not going to be the way Christians worship 100 years from now.
Yeah. Yeah. No.
So it's something that's ongoing. Yeah. It's not new to us.
Yeah. If you look at church, and you know more about church history than I do, but even within the Puritans in the 1600s, 1700s, men and women would not be sitting together. You'd be on one side, she'd be on the other. Children would be in a different location, their doors. So, okay. So, but even if we look back to the 1500s, worship would have looked completely different. And I think it's in God's infinite wisdom that he did not give us a rigid format about what worship should look like. The sound of it, the volume of it. It's just, you know, because you have in ancient Israel, and I think it's difficult too when you always look at Israel, because a lot of the celebration and singing was directly correlating to days and things of that nature. But when the scripture says shout to the Lord, I think they really shouted to the Lord. That is a volume issue. When they say play skillfully unto the Lord and with a 10-stringed lute. Now, I don't know what a 10-stringed lute is. I hope to find out one day. But we're to play skillfully. We're to be playing instruments for the Lord. Because God gives them. So I hope over the next several weeks to be able to not just talk about styles, but talk about, we need to ask ourselves, what worship does God want? Because in the end, that's what matters, is God's opinion. Does God have to accept every form of worship we give? Does God have to accept our worship? No. Did God accept Cain's worship? No. There's a lot that can be said about that. But I think God's opinion. And then we approach it. We approach the matter with joy. We approach the matter with charity. We approach the matter with grace. And I think as we pray about this, and like I said, for those of you, and I don't, there's a hard heart. And if I'm, and in my words, if I'm offending you, I'm not intending to. Trust me from my heart. Sarah's at home praying right now over this. Because I don't want anyone to leave. I don't want anyone to get frustrated. I want us to think, you know, if we're praying and we come to address the issue, we don't look at people's heart. You know, what's the Bible say? We read it this morning. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, thinketh no evil. It means it doesn't rush to the wrong intent in somebody's heart while they're just saying that or doing that because of this. Love doesn't do that. Love thinks no evil. It just doesn't do that. So we trust, we can't see a person's motivation. Now we judge sin, but we cannot judge a person's motivation. So what we do is we look at the issue and we approach it with grace. And we move forward, even if it's not necessarily a certain song I like. You know, I tell you what, there's certain hymns there for. Now they might be your hymn. And you know what? I'm going to sing it out with gusto. There's certain hymns and certain choruses I just think are bubblegum. Boom, 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 boom. There's no theological substance to it. They're just, but the Bible says, and we're going to look at spiritual songs. Songs about testimony. Spiritual singing is what it means. How many of you have ever had a hymn in your mind or a song in your mind, and you're just making up words as you go because you don't have a clue what they are? And you're just talking, the Spirit of God's moving. You're just adding your own words to it. I do that all the time. Songs of personal testimony and praise to God. What was that? So I just want us to be gracious. Rebecca, you have a thought? You're fine. I think there's always fear and timidity, you know, when it comes to that. What, especially when I come, you know, and this is why we, 3 years I was here, we did nothing, no change at all, because I wanted you to know my heart. I have no agenda. I have a kingdom of agenda, if you will. I want to see souls saved, lives edified up. But I don't have anything I'm trying to accomplish here. I'm not trying to build a name for myself. I don't, my goal is to try to keep us as, you know, as current, but as connected, conservatively current, I think is a healthy way to put things. And I have no desire to, and I think it's kind of the slippery slope. Well, if you do this, well then, you know, this all happens. And it's a fallacy. But again, I always want to look at things from the scriptures and not, you know, not wrong presuppositions bring it to the issue. Daniel, did you have a thought? Thank you. Surely.
And that is true, and I believe that. But if you have dissension has started and magnified and grown since there's been more contemporary music, then maybe you need to reevaluate that. Maybe you need to back off and just see, does the spiritual sphere get healthier?
Yeah. Oh, I see.
Think you should kowtow to us.
Sure. No. I don't feel. Yeah. Yeah, well, it's sure. Ascension started about a year and a half ago when we started some of the changes up front. I think that has then, I don't know if all of that's been healed. And I think, it's this piled on this, it's piled on this, it's piled on this, and then this is the one that kind of breaks the camel. So I think that a lot of this is compounding frustration, disappointment, hurt. A lot of things I think have been taken personally. But my only thought is I don't necessarily like to. I mean, if something again is unbiblical, I wanted that to be pointed out, and we'll move from that. But the problem, if I just, you know, it's kind of like you know, when you're raising your kids, kick back because you do this, you just don't not do it. We want to address the heart. What is the heart behind all this? And if there's something legitimate back there that we need to address. You know, it's addressing root causes. You know, anger is the fruit of something deep-seated. So if I'm angry or mad, the root is planted down deep in something else. And so that's just a matter of counseling. But I just want to, I said, if, again, I don't know all the root causes of why people have become angry, and I'm just hearing a lot of it. A lot of people send, I know that there's a fraction in the church that will send delegates to me. And not matters personally, rather than addressing issues. And so I want us to always be biblical. Matthew 18, if I have a problem, I want to go to that person. That way I don't have any influxes. I don't want to talk to a bunch of people and then we go visit the pastor. We deal with the issue. And I go right to the person. This is going on, and, you know, privately, and it's just between you and that person. And, you know, this is going on, and this bothers me. And maybe it shouldn't, but would you pray with me about it? That just isn't happening. I just know things are being talked about and discussed and then not ever being handled appropriately. People come talk with me rather than personally themselves going to other individuals. Or, like I said, I have no problem with people coming to me. But then we're negating Scripture, Matthew 18. And like I said, I don't want to... The issue is in a pullback, and we don't have any contemporary music, then I have to know that any time we're going to pursue that in the future, it's going to be the same struggle right away. And so, I'm not trying to ostracize anybody. I'm not trying to do that at all. I just want us to view it biblically and with compassion, recognizing there's differences of opinion, but then we're supposed to be deferring to one another, too. The people who are more... contemporary and need to be give sway to those who prefer only traditional music with a piano at a certain volume, whereas those people then need to give deference to those people who have contemporary views. And when you do that, you have a meeting in the middle, and it's. But when one person has to have their way here or over here, you end up two sides of the rail, and you can't accomplish things. And like I said, if it was a. You know, I don't know how broad and wide I just know because I keep hearing people, and people are getting hurt because they're overhearing it. When people are complaining about things, you have to remember other people hear that. And it comes back to me, and it hurts.
Is it just about music, or is it just because, truthfully, if we didn't have any music, just hearing and listening to
Well, I.
She tried that once before.
It didn't work.
you know, I have no desire to leave. You know, my desire would only be to the will of God and the will of the people. Rich. By the grace of God.
I want to encourage you in that there has been fruit. And so we shouldn't be discouraged, or frankly, to allow you to be too discouraged. Maybe not as much as you would like, but we've seen good people, faithful people come in.
Yeah. Yeah, and praise the Lord for that.
Names, but
yeah. Very much, and I'm encouraged by that. And I just want us to be a united church who's moving forward for Christ, who's loving, and we're one, recognizing there's differences. And you know, it's just like in a marriage, you got two sinners and you put them together, you'll never get perfection. Just won't happen. We seen that last night. Too much differences of opinion. And I preached 2 minutes long too this morning. So for those of you who are a part of the. I don't know. I don't know. I'm just hearing things. I overhear things, and some people say certain things to me. But I don't want to part, because I think these people love God and they love everyone here. I firmly believe that. So I don't want to. Yeah, Mary. Sure, yeah, because and I don't want to cut you off. I think that that's important, because in our current vernacular, when we speak about worship, what do you think about? Music. You just do. That's just how it's in our culture. But worship biblically, again, I think that you have occasions where Paul mentions about psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. And by the way, those passages are beautiful. We'll look at them. But I want to come back and just have it be the heart of worship, and it's all about Jesus. And then we reap the benefits of that by strengthening us, edifying the body. And again, if you want to talk with me privately, and I hope I didn't put anyone on the spot, I just want to make sure if there's any dissension we can work through, because I don't want people going away. I know some people had mentioned that it was loud and they'd gotten headaches, and I don't want that to be that way. I don't want that to be that way. But I think as we work through this and we don't give up on what we keep striving together in unity and love, we will overcome any disagreements.
I think just by you presenting them, you brought it out in the open for everyone to at least be acknowledged that didn't know. At this point, we give it all to God.
Yeah. Yeah.
We leave it up to Him. I mean, it will be fine.
Amen.
Yeah,
and I don't want to I don't want anybody to have a pity party. There's certain burdens that, as Larry mentioned, I need to share, because it's not, God didn't design for me to carry it all. And, you know, I need to listen to my wife's advice. You know, what do? When people worry, what do you tell them to do? Pray. Give it to the Lord.
Well, I'm sounding like Sarah now.
No, but this is how I need to give it to the Lord.
Yes.
But at the same time, I lost my train of thought there. I don't want you to feel sorry for me. I don't want that. There's certain things I have to bear because God in His grace has called me to, and He will sustain me because He is faithful. We serve an awesome God. And remember, this congregation is the church of the living God. And it will move forward. And it will move forward with grace and love as we fix our eyes on Christ. And I know that's what each one of us want to do. And we want to link hands and hearts, both and in current songs, and we move forward with grace, looking to Christ and looking around us. With that said, how about we close with a word of prayer, and then Bob, he has. Did you want to? If we could sing. You want to sing it? Okay, perfect. Carolyn's still recovering from white knuckling it all the way here. No, okay, you're just going to play. Pat. Yes, we're going to pray for Jan. She